With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In 1 hour at 4 o'clock, we've got those tickets for you to go see Bert Kreischer when he comes to the DMV. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan, and we welcome our Richmond audience in on AM 910 and FM 105.1. To everybody else who's been listening all over D.C. on 106.7 The Fan, thanks for making the show part of your day. We're taking you up to 6:30. Please remember that if you're ever out and about outside the area or want to take us with you on the move, you can do that. We are broadcasting nationally for 4.5 hours a day. Always free on the Odyssey app. It's a great way to listen to the show.
Anytime, anywhere. I do it all the time. For example, I was getting a bunch of texts this morning right after I dropped my son off at school. And they're like, dude, junkies are talking about you. Junkies are talking about you. I'm like, well, what are they saying? Do I need to call in? What's happening? And I figured out JP Flame was talking about a conversation you and I had years ago, Jeeps. Years ago. I could hit the rewind button, easily find it on the Odyssey app. About the appropriate amount of ice in a soda at a fast food restaurant.
And which we all know is about a quarter of the cup.
Yeah, our ratio between 25 and 30% is ideal, especially if you have crushed ice. That is where you want it. Tough guys always like to pretend, dude, like 2% ice, like no ice. No.
Now, I overdo some the ice, to be fair, because I'm an
you're ice
chewer.
You're a chewer.
So I will go heavy, especially if it's the kind of ice I like to chew. I'll almost fill that cup up. But the perfect ratio... You go a little less ice for me. My perfect ratio is close to a half cup. I'll say maybe 40, 45%. You're more of a quarter cup guy, which that's your prerogative. I'm not going to beat you up for that. But everyone's got their own way of going about it. Did you see that the new president of basketball operations in D.C. who's going to be running the Wizards has given his first public opinions on Bradley Beal?
I saw it.
Michael Winger, just hired to run the Wizards front office, was talking about taking the job. There was a feature done on him in the L.A. Times, probably because he's coming from L.A. where he was with the Clippers, and so he's got some relationships with media members out there. Here's why I think it's important what he says about Beal and why I think it's a story and people care what he says about Beal. The number one question about Winger and the way forward for the Wizards is, are you able to rebuild this team if you want to? Are you able to detonate this roster if that's your plan? Will Ted Leonsis allow you to build this thing in your vision? Or do you have to build this team in the image that it has been constructed here recently, which is around Bradley Beal as the A1, you know, alpha, the guy? And it, does that mean they're keeping Kuzma and keeping Porzingis and doing the Tommy Shepard plan where that's your big three? And you try to, you know, build everyone else around that to get into the middle of the pack in the top eight in the Eastern Conference. So that's the whole question, right? We're trying to figure out what's Winger's vision. Is he going to want to rebuild? Could he try to trade Bradley Beal and start over? Because I don't want to speak for every Wizards fan, but I would guess that somewhere between 80 and 90% of the fan base would like this team to start over and actually try once and for all to build this thing from the ground up with an entirely new group.
To really and truly build. Which, instead of just this middling hamster wheel that's caused, frankly, disinterest among the fan base. One play-in tournament over the last five seasons tells you that your way of going about it has not worked. There are no 50-win seasons to speak of in my lifetime as a Wizards fan. Not that 50 is the holy grail or the benchmark, but it's just emblematic of a team that's got a chance to do something special come the postseason. So there are a couple paragraphs here, GP, that really jump out at me. I'll read the second one first, if I may. which is, this is his comments on Beal. The bulk of his conversations with Leonsis, Winger said, were spent on finding where they aligned and what he called a big picture vision for building an organization. Winger values process. So does Leonsis, he said. Leonsis wanted to know Winger's thoughts on developing a culture that could lead to sustainable success. I'll come back to that. Winger's comment on Beal. His former coaches, former teammates, they all have extraordinarily high regard for him, and he's unequivocally a superstar, Winger said. The hardest thing to do in the NBA is acquire a superstar talent, and it's even harder to acquire superstar talent with this level of character. And so I think it's an extremely, extremely fortunate starting point. So to me, that's really exciting to have somebody like Brad on the team. Here's my hope. You can't walk in and be like, yeah, that guy's an overpaid bum. I can't wait to get rid of his ass. First thing, he's on the first plane out of here. As soon as I can find somebody that gives me 10 cents on the dollar, I am shipping him. You're not going to say that. Of course, you're going to pump up your asset because worst case scenario, you can't find a trade partner, or because Bradley Beal has a no trade clause. He could say, no, I'm not going there because I have a no trade clause. There's no reason for you to give me, but I have it. So the answer is no. Here's the thing that I'm worried about. And again, maybe this is just what you say in an interview. Maybe this is just lip service. He's a very well-respected guy, really sharp dude. Went to law school, has been in successful organizations, has done an awful lot. I don't know exactly what roles in each place, but basketball folks think this guy is really, really sharp. That part about the meshing with Leonsis and building a culture, that scares me. And most people are going to go, what the hell are you talking about? That's exactly what we need. I worry that it's building a culture with what we've got because what we've got is good enough. That's my fear, is that Leonsis goes, here's what we have right now. This really, really great player in Bradley Beal, a chance for a couple other guys to come back that were difference makers, that scored over 20 points a game last season, that, you know, Porzingis had his best season in a long time. Kuzma has broken out. Look at what we have already. All we need is a culture. We just need to be the Heat, and we'll be in the finals too. That's my fear, is that all it takes is just a couple, you know, hard practices and a coach that shares my vision, and we'll be right there. That's my fear, is that he's basically saying, come in here, you'll be in charge of all of it, make nice with everybody, and make sure, you know, the Mystics are running on five cylinders too.
Yeah, so we don't know what Ted said to him, and we never will probably, and we don't know what Winger said to get the job and whether or not he's going to be empowered to do this how he wants to, or if the point is, hey, get in where you fit in. You get to be a team president, basketball ops, run the whole thing. You're getting a massive bump in pay. You're getting a huge bump in title. You're going to be a household name in the NBA as far as executives go, so enjoy the gig. But here are the guidelines, and you slide that sheet across the desk, and it says, Beal stays and is the, you know, sun, and everything else in this solar system kind of revolves around him.
Uh-huh.
We don't know how that went. I could tell you that Ava Wallace, who we have on the show, and I trust her reporting, in this story she wrote for the Washington Post, made it seem like through her sources that this guy is being given the full autonomy to do whatever he wants. It sounds like Winger is getting carte blanche, and if he wants to trade Beal, he'll be allowed to, and if he wants to do other things, he's going to be able to. Now, as you said, going to be hard to trade Beal for a lot of reasons. The biggest one of them is you're not allowed to without his permission. So if he wants to stay and make the money he's making here, he can do that. But this quote, this is the first chance we have as to getting an indication of Winger on Bradley Beal. He is unequivocally a superstar. The hardest thing to do in the NBA is to acquire a superstar talent, and it's even harder to acquire superstar talent with his level of character. And so I think it's an extremely, extremely fortunate starting point.
Dagger!
That's tough. Because he's not a superstar. This is where we get into semantics, I guess. And what is a superstar?
What does that mean? Forgive me. Let me push back on that for 1 second. It's everything. It's not semantics to me. It's everything. It's the whole misidentification. It's the whole problem here where they look in the mirror and they go, I'm not fat. You're fat, dude. They don't know what they have and what they don't have. They think he's the same as everyone else. Please continue.
Okay. That's very well said. But, and this is a big old booty here, okay? But he has to say this. Like, this is the correct thing to say.
Yep.
Hopefully, what he actually thinks is different. But what do I kill the Commanders for all too often? They devalue assets.
Yes.
They don't build up what they've got. Make it a commodity. He should go on a media tour screaming into a megaphone about how amazing Bradley Beal is,
here, here.
How teams would be so lucky to have him. And he's right about the character. I really genuinely believe.
I do too.
I think Brad is like a legitimately stellar human being from what I can gather. And our limited experiences with him, he seems like a pro. Like I get on players, the guys I don't like in sports that I don't root for, don't have pro qualities, don't take things seriously, don't act like grown-ups, you know, aren't guys that you want your kids to look up to and admire. Bradley Beal's not that. Bradley Beal is a, you know, put a poster of him up on your kid's bedroom, you can feel good about that. Buy that jersey, I think you can feel good about that. It's never been my issue.
Here's my big but.
But. You knew it was coming. But.
But.
He's not a superstar. You pay him like a super-duper superstar.
Mm-hmm.
It's him and Joker that make the money that he makes. The same Joker who's in the finals, waiting on the Eastern Conference champion right now. The same guy who's averaging a triple-double, basically, in these playoffs. The same guy who could have been the MVP of the league for the last 3 years. It's him and it's Beal making the money that Beal makes. So his comment, it's not like this is a bad comment, he shouldn't have said it. No, this is indicative of
right.
good media practice, good overall understanding of the situation. I guess I only point this out, Danny, to say, if his legitimate thought is, thank God we got Beal to build this whole thing around.
Oh, no.
Then we're in the same spot.
Then we're rowing the boat in the circle again, right around the drain. This is, again, every Wizards fan, the 11 of us that are left, we have one concern and one concern only, that it's just going to be the same thing with a different face, right? Because we've seen it. We've seen this our whole life. For whatever reason, Ted, who got successful with the Capitals, when he tried to buy it and do it quick with the Yagers of the world, realized that ain't the right way. They got lucky as hell that some kid named Ovechkin was the number one overall pick. The next year, they got him, and they built a dynasty of it. When they, you know, when they tore it down and started to build something, and they built a sustainable bit of excellence. The best they've been here is when they finally bottomed out and won the lottery and got John Wall, where Bradley Beal was the number two, and you had 49 wins, and you were knocking on the door of the Eastern Conference Finals. Not good enough big picture, but that's the best it's been. There's been this abject refusal, this defiance, this weird, early 1980s tough guy sports talk thing about, we ain't never going to tank, it's losing. Woo! You've been losing so much, lose with a purpose. You can lose if there's an end game to it. There hasn't been an end game to this. While they're barely winning 35 ball games a couple of years ago, Bradley Beal's leading the league in minutes, killing himself, going up and down the court, playing offense, defense, playmaking, hard minutes, LeBron James-like minutes, and LeBron's doing it for a team that's going to the damn finals. Beal's doing it for a team that might make the play-in. What are we doing? What were we doing then? The eye line, the energy, the effort seems wasted and futile and pointless and planless. I pray that this guy really does have the autonomy. If he really does, any objective basketball observer would be like, I'm not saying Bradley Beal's a bad player. Neither is Kuzma. Neither is Porzingis. These are bad players.
In fact, they're three really good players.
They're good players. Together, this doesn't work. We need to start anew because our ceiling is too low.
Beal's
What's the point
star.
Of this?
Porzingis is a star, and Kuzma is really good. I would say, you know, if we
fair.
Go, like, if the tiers are superstar, star,
mm-hmm.
and then really good under that, like, you got two stars and a really good. But we've kind of seen what that is,
yep.
what that gets you. That and a couple bucks will get you a pack of gum. I mean, it's not enough. I'm going somewhere with this, but I'm going to ask you a question to get it started.
Okay.
Best player in the NBA right now.
Jokic.
If Jokic was here with Beal, could this team get to the finals?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Maybe his point is, okay, and I'm basing this off the winger comments, but like,
yep.
let's just say hypothetically he really views Beal as, he's a building block, we're keeping him, we're building this with him, we're lucky we have him. Let's take him at face value. That's what he really thinks. Maybe his point is, Beal's not the problem. Beal will be the solution when I get another superstar, and I'm using his term superstar,
okay.
Beal, with him. In other words, like going down the list, if Giannis was here with Beal, can that team win the finals?
Yes.
Doncic.
I
don't think that would work.
No,
really.
It wouldn't work. But I see your point. Embiid.
Embiid.
Yes.
Durant.
Maybe.
Not now. Not anymore, probably. But you get where I'm going.
I know
with
exactly
this.
What you're saying. Like, yes. Grant, this is a smart point.
So he might be saying, actually, like, we could win with Beal. We just need to get the other thing. Now, the problem is here, they haven't been able to get the other thing. And I don't think they'll be able to. Like, the other thing doesn't want to come here.
Right.
Whoever that is, that A, that guy's never available because they're busy making, I hate to say this, Beal money in the case of Jokic. He's not leaving Denver. But that part of it we don't really think about, which, and maybe we shouldn't. Maybe it's a waste of time because it's an impossibility that you could get. My point is, if you had a top 5 or 10 player in basketball with Beal, you could win.
And, that ain't bad.
Maybe
yeah.
that would have been Wembanyama if he hit the lottery. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. So that's sharp. So let me play that out for a second. To me, the thing that frustrated me the most about the Ernie Grunfeld era, that's not true. It was on the podium or a top 5, maybe Mount Rushmore, maybe a top 20, because it was a disaster and I hated him so much as an executive. They were never in position to pounce. In other words, if you're not going to be good, you just keep assets together so that when Paul George is disgruntled in Indiana, you could trade for him. So that when Donovan Mitchell is going to be out in Utah, you trade for him. Cleveland did that, and they got a team that, you know, listen, they got upset by the Knicks whooped their butts, but that's a pretty good club. I'd rather be Cleveland right now with Evan Mobley and Donovan Mitchell and Garland and a couple other guys than here in Washington. There's plenty of upside there. They're never in position to strike. That's the way to get the second superstar. Or you find them through the draft, and we know that's not going to happen when they draft 8th, 9th, or 10th every single year, no matter what, and it's never their Giannis, it's never their Jokic, it's always a Denny Avdija type situation. So if you're going to try to find the second superstar or a real superstar with Beal as the second banana again, that's not the craziest thing in the world. It's probably prohibitive because this is not thought of as the destination. You have to do the metamorphosis the way Phoenix has, the way Oklahoma City, the way Sacramento is probably going through right now, the way Denver did, quite frankly. Denver was the Washington of the Midwest.
Yes.
Right? Nobody gave a damn. They'd never done diddly or squat. Their teams in the 80s with Alex English and company were fun and Fat Lever. Cool. They've never done anything out there. When you finally unearth that superstar, however you got him, second round, first round, whatever, now all of a sudden Denver's cool.
But you're ruling out the draft almost certainly because you're not bad enough. It's the same problem
yep.
that the Commanders are in finding a quarterback. You're never bad enough to be at the top of the board, right? So you have to rule that out. So then how do you get the guy? You have to lure them in free agency,
which
has
never
been
happen.
An impossibility and seems like it can't happen. And so my point is to say, I think that his logic, or in this hypothetical, the logic of Beal as the number two, you can build a champion, I agree with. That would make me believe he's probably not a superstar to that
right.
terminology. But if that's the thought, I agree. You could win a if you had Giannis, whoever the next Giannis is, if you had Wembanyama or whatever, maybe. But I just don't think they're going to get that guy, which is why I'm saying you have to move on and try to do this another way. The other question on Beal is, like, just going through some guys that are similar in terms of, you know, the that position, so to speak. Like, SGA, way ahead of Beal now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? No doubt. Damian Lillard, way ahead of Beal.
Yep.
Right?
They need help, too. I mean,
agreed.
I love Lillard. They can't win either.
Donovan Mitchell or Beal?
Mitchell.
I mean, not even close, right? I remember when I said we should trade Beal for Jaylen Brown straight up and everyone killed me. Jaylen Brown right now, that's not a debate, is it?
Not for me.
Okay. I'm just trying to think of some other guys in that kind of two-guard type ilk. What about Jimmy Butler? It was more of a three, but I mean Butler over Beal.
Yep.
And he's, you know, more of a postseason
complete player,
guy.
But yeah, but still a two-way player.
Paul George or Beal?
Health's a question there, but on court, give me Paul George.
Healthy Paul George.
Yep.
Devin Booker or Beal?
Booker. Come on,
right.
dude.
Of course. This is his own position. You know what I mean? This
yeah.
is his, like, peers that we're going through. I know this guy's a point guard, but I'm interested in this. Trae Young or Bradley Beal?
Trae Young.
Jalen Brunson after a year with the Knicks.
After what I just saw? Ascending. I know that sounds disrespectful, but
he's absolutely
he's
after
a
this.
He's a badass.
Year. Anthony Edwards or Beal? So the reason I ask this is, like,
yeah.
it put yourself in the shoes of this hypothetical Giannis that's picking a spot.
Right.
Anthony Edwards wants to play with me and Bradley Beal does. Where am I going?
Probably Edwards.
Jaren Jackson. That's a different position. Drew Holiday or Bradley Beal? Maybe now you're into the Beal category.
Yeah. I mean, Holiday's such a great defender, but the point stands. Like, you're in the CJ McCollum, Fred Van Fleet tier.
Here's one. DeMar DeRozan wants me to come team up with him or Bradley Beal.
DeRozan was so good this year, but maybe I lean Beal.
All right, so now we're in the Beal.
But we're in that tier.
I haven't mentioned Jamal Murray yet.
Well, Jamal Murray, but I think this is such a good point. The idea that the superstar is going to go, where am I going to pick? You know, where am I going to force a trade to? It's not here. This place has to get cool somehow.
By the way, if you had a superstar, it would be cool, and that's kind of my point.
Right.
If you legitimately had a superstar, it makes it cool.
They weren't even cool. They were cool for about a minute with Wall and Beal, if you recall. Paul Pierce decided, yep, sure, I'll come here and play the four. Like, Hall of Famer Paul Pierce, the truth. You know what I mean? Like, a nickname, and everyone knows who I'm talking about when I say the truth. He came here for a year because they were on the cusp of coolness. And I know that sounds stupid, but that's how the NBA works, man.
What's the way forward for the new president basketball ops here? What do you think the blueprint should look like? And specific to Beal, I guess the question is, you know, do you view him still as a potential superstar? Can they win if they build around him? What would they have to do? I think this past year is all you need to see with two really good players around him. They didn't even make the playoffs. I know there was a lot of missed games with injuries, and maybe they'll hang their hat on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious. Maybe there's someone out there who still kind of thinks that a co-top two Batman-Robin situation with somebody in Beal would be enough. 800-636-1067 is the number. The Wizards have a new vision. They've got a new team president. First public comments from Winger on Beal. Called him a superstar. Said he's glad that he's here as a guy they can build this thing around. We're Grant and Danny on The Fan.
I mean, it's disappointing for sure. You know, we had high goals and expectations for ourselves, and we fell well short of that. So it's definitely disappointing that we didn't do things we set ourselves out to do.
Bradley Beal at season's end with the media. Welcome back. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. 4 o'clock, 30 minutes out. Chance for you guys to win tickets to Bert Kreischer. That's when we've got our Beltway Blitz on the teams you care the most about today. And at 4:25, 1 hour from right now, this is big. This is a much-anticipated show return. The Grant and Danny's Tony's Mailbag. If you missed it the first time, it's our version of a little Ask Me Anything, an opportunity for an open lines segment on a Friday for you. It is Grant and Danny's Tony's Mailbag. You can steer the conversation with questions for us at 4:25. Let's go to Al in the district. What's up, Al? How are you?
Yo, yo, what's up, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
Heard y'all talking about this, you know, Wizard situation. And I think the best way to move forward with what we have, the contracts and all that kind of locked in with this, is to go after a superstar coach to get the most out of these guys. We have a solid roster, you know, KP, Kuz, Beal, solid bench, you know, with Danny or Kispert, if they're coming off. Huff, I liked Huff at the end of the season. You know, these guys, if we get the most out of them, I think we're pretty deep, and we could, you know, potentially make that, you know, conference finals run or semifinal run. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So that's optimistic,
you
right?
You think watching this team last year that a coaching change would be enough to get a club to the conference finals that didn't make the playoffs this year?
I mean, if you have like a Ty Lue or a Mike Brown or call up Jay Wright from Nova or something, you know, to get the most out of these guys, I don't see why not. We got the scoring. You know, KP is still a unicorn. We just need to shore up on the defensive end. You know, I think Huff could be a presence in the stretch five and a presence in the center. You know, I don't know why we weren't giving him more minutes throughout the year. You know, I just don't think, you know, respect to Woj, but the Nepo baby stuff, man, I'm like, yo, can we get a real coach out here to get the most out of these fellas?
Appreciate you, dude. I'd like to hang out with you some. Your optimism might run off on me.
Is he talking about Jay Huff, the UVA guy?
Yeah, guy averaged 2 and 3. Yeah. Yeah. G League Jerry.
I mean,
I like Jay Huff fine, but oh my God.
With respect, no, that's not a thing.
So, I mean, how many defensive coaches does it take to get a group to play defense?
What Huff is on their team other than Jay Huff? I was like, he must be talking about some guy I don't know about. Surely he's not talking about Jay Huff from the Virginia Cavaliers. No, he clearly was. That was interesting. But no, I mean, you can't have watched that team last year and thought that they're one move away. And maybe they would do a better job if they made a change and Wes Unseld Jr. wasn't their coach. We said that with Scott Brooks. You guys hated his guts. You were thrilled when Wes came. Before that, Randy Whitman was a big idiot. And by the way, all Randy Whitman ever did was preach defense and scream about defense.
They played defense with him.
Better than they do now. But, I mean, they have not played defense, really, since 2015. And it's been multiple coaches and multiple staffs and different regimes. The players are the reason they don't play defense.
Yeah, and again, it's organizational culture. More so, and a coach can help with that, certainly, but that's part of it. Corey Kispert basically gave you the keynotes to it. Now, do I think they can be better coached? Yes. I will tell you, the thing that boggles my mind and irritates me to no end is there are objectively good three-point shooters on this roster. The ingredient that you would say you need to have if you're going to be successful in this modern-day NBA. And for some reason, they were 21st in three-pointers made per game. They were one of the poorer shooting teams from three-point range all season long. To me, that's a coaching thing. Get me more good shots open. Figure out a way to get more threes. Part of that, you don't have a great point guard who's dynamic and can drive and kick. I understand all that. I just need more threes. Stay up late at night. Use a cocktail napkin at a bar. Whatever you got to do, draw me up a way to get more three-point shots in this three-point league. I mean, you look at the correlation. The teams that made the most threes played the most. Won a whole bunch of basketball games.
When he referenced their offense is basically like where it needs to be. Relative to league average, their offense was minus this past year. And so was their defense. In fact, yeah. Three straight years, they have been below average on both offense and defense relative to team rating. And in both of the Unseld years, that's been the case. If you're just joining us on Grant and Danny, the new team president of basketball operations, Michael Winger, who comes over from the Clippers, was hired 2 days ago, gave an interview to the LA Times yesterday, and we saw it today for the first time. He was talking about Beale, called him a superstar, said that he's lucky to be coming to an organization where he's got a player basically he can build around like Beale. And we're getting your thoughts on what they need to do moving forward and what you make of those comments. Mike is in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Mike?
Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
I agree with everything you guys said about the history going back. But that guy that just went up there and said that he agreed that Bill is a star, our new president of operations, I have a problem with it because you're lying right now. Because if you was the GM back then and you had to give that contract up to Bill, he would not have done it. Secondly, I wouldn't fault him.
Can I ask you a real quick question before you go to number two? Here's my follow-up, and I'm sure you heard us acknowledge this, but him saying that to me is not a problem as long as he doesn't believe it. Like, in other words, if he wants to trade Beal, the best thing he can do is come in here, talk about how great he is, call him a superstar, say he's a great dude,
right,
and then flip him. So I didn't have a problem with him saying it. I hope you didn't. But your point
is you hope he doesn't believe it.
Right.
Right, right. I would agree with that, but okay. It's no hill there. But the biggest common denominator out of what you guys said and what I said is this owner, Mr. Leonsis. He been eating for years off D.C., eating good. Remember when he came to D.C., he was fat. He's skinny now. He ain't so damn good and got healthy. When was the last time we didn't had an all-star game? The all-star game came in, what, 2000? L.A. they had probably about five of them. Am I tripping? But, man, come on. The common denominator is this guy, Ted Leonsis. There's nothing wrong. Just sell the team and focus on the Caps because that's where your heart and your soul is. Now you're trying to get the Nationals. Man, the common denominator, this guy, he does not know how to run the basketball operations. Sure, he got Paul Pierce. We had our Gilbert Arenas run, and, you know, it was rah-rah. But you produce nothing. If I believe he was really sincere, you signed Majiri, you had Bob Myers, you know, going back and forth with Golden State. You could have went out and reached the Sam Presti. Make a splash. I want to know you're going to bring somebody in here for real and have the autonomy to spend some money because you're cheap, but you've been eating so good that you done built an empire here in D.C. Only thing you don't owe right now is the Commanders, and that's owned by Jeff and the 12 Disciples. We don't even know who the hell owned that other than three known people. So, I mean, all these guys is a joke. If you want to put a win on here, show me somebody that's here to win. Not some guy in the Clippers that's just going to come up here and say anything. I understand he had to do that.
They did not go. Thank you for the call. It's a great call.
Great call.
They did not go with a household name. I wanted Myers. I wanted, you know, a star, big executive to come in here to run the shop. But the report from the Post and from Ava Wallace is that they are providing autonomy. They found their young up-and-comer that they want to run their show and that he's going to get to do it in his image. I don't go as hard on Leontis as everyone else from a Wizards standpoint, and maybe it's just because I'm such a huge Capitals fan that I kind of see it through a different lens. That's very possible. I'm open to that criticism because I think he's done an outstanding job with the Capitals, like a legitimately phenomenal job. But I have a hard time believing someone can be so good at one thing and terrible at another. So I don't quite blame him to the same extent everyone else does on the Wizards. I think that it's possible that he thinks you run all teams one way.
I think it's exactly what it is.
Like, in other words, here's how you run a sports team. Football, basketball, hockey, baseball, it doesn't matter. And I think that each sport, you have to run differently. And maybe that's the case. Maybe he's trying to run the basketball team the same way as the hockey team. But when people just scream at Ted Leontis and say, well, he doesn't let him rebuild. The Capitals this year are a great example. After years and years and years of being awesome, never having to rebuild, always adding. This offseason, or this in-season, Danny, at the trade deadline, they're not going to make the playoffs probably. In fact, they still could have. And if they didn't make some trades, they probably would have. They could have done, you know, you guys all make fun of Ted and say, oh, he just wants the gate for the first round of the playoffs or whatever. They could have not traded those players that they did, the Hathaways and all the guys that they moved like Orlov. They could have just been the 8 seed and gotten 4 or 6 gates, you know, possibly in the playoffs and gone and played some games. What did they do? They sold. They rebooted. They basically did the thing that the Wizards refused to do. So am I to believe that Ted, when McClellan comes to him and asks for something, says yes, and then when someone else, Tommy, comes to him, he says no? I'm not saying that's impossible, but you understand there's a disconnect where I go, are we sure that the basketball people have all been right the whole time and Leontis was wrong? You see what I'm saying?
I do.
Like, is Tommy going to him and saying, hey, I want to trade Beal this offseason, and he's saying absolutely not? I don't know.
Well,
and maybe he just views Beal as his own Ovechkin.
Well, I think that's what it is.
And, like, his vision of Beal is just flawed.
I think that's because Beal's, again, it sounds like we're always picking on Beal. We're not. He's just the epicenter of it. He views basketball the way you view other sports, which is wrong. You don't do that. Like, it's a different game where a star player plays 80% of the minutes and affects offense and defense almost equally, dominates the basketball. Whereas Alex Ovechkin, one of the great players of all time, still only plays a third of the game. It's different in that way. Let me read you this real quick. Ask yourself the big question. Can this team, as constructed, ever win a championship? If the answer is yes, stay the course and try to find the right formula. Does that sound familiar? If the answer is no, then plan to rebuild. Don't fake it. Really do the analytics and be brutally honest. Once you have the answer, develop the game plan to really try to win a championship. Always run away from experts that say we're just one player away. Recognize there is no easy and fast systemic fix. It will be a bumpy ride. Have confidence in the plan. Trust and verify the progress, but don't deviate from the plan. That's Ted Leontis on how to win.
I love it. It's how I feel.
He hasn't done that with the Wizards.
I agree completely.
Like, so either he doesn't believe that, or he doesn't know what he has.
No. You know what that tells me? That's his quote, really?
Yes, he wrote that.
First of all, that's hilarious.
It's a 10-point plan.
It's kind of the opposite of what the Wizards have been.
Precisely.
But this is what it tells me. He miscalculates how good the Wizards are. That's what that is.
Yes.
He miscalculates how good Beal is. He miscalculates the big three that's actually the medium three. Like, in other words, maybe it isn't, he doesn't know how to win in the NBA. He doesn't know the process to win, and it is actually, he's looking at a deck of cards and seeing something, and you and I are going, oh my God, fold that hand. And he's like, maybe I can win with this.
Yeah, in his mind, George McPhee and Ernie Grunfeld were the same. Just very qualified executives running things really well. That's the point. You're in charge of both. How could you see one good and the other, yeah, that's the same. Oh my God, it's not.
Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. If you want to hop in on the Wiz, you can. 800-636-1067. Our double play, what's going on in our lives, coming your way next. Plus, we're blitzing at the top of the hour in 20 minutes when we give away those Burt Kreischer tickets. Somebody's going to be winning off the field at the top of the hour when they win Bert Kreischer tickets. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. It is Friday, so our double play. You're going to tell us what little teeny tiny mini moral victory made you feel good today that nobody else would care about. What went right in your day? 800-636-1067 is the number.
I can give you an example if you guys want to kind of start this off. Is that fair? So Ryan and I played some pickleball this morning, and Ryan doesn't even know this, okay? We talked early in the week about playing pickleball on Friday. We confirmed the date. I completely forgot to reserve the court. Like, at no time did I ever go online and do the move where I reserve the court. Usually if I got a couple days notice or 24 hours, I got a decent shot at getting it for the time we usually like to play. But I completely spaced on it. Ryan texted me last night, and he's like, hey, we still doing pickleball tomorrow? I wrote him back right away, yes! Like, all probably too quickly, a little too enthusiastically, put like an exclamation point in there. I may have even said, yes, sir. I don't even remember what I did, but it was like, oh, totally. And no, I didn't forget about it. But like, I was worried he would notice that I was all insecure about it. So I went online as soon as I possibly could last night. Court was still open. Able to make the reservation. He was none the wiser. It went off seamlessly. And because that happened, I am.
Winning off the field.
I, like many of you, am getting ready for a three-day weekend. No work on Monday.
Oh.
Saturday, I don't really have major plans. I'm working. I got a little show tomorrow from 10 to noon. BetQL, CBS Sports Radio. Might have to head down 95, which is always fun. Go to the Fredericksburg area. I want to go check out my nephew playing some baseball. I might try to take my son and go do that.
Nice.
He's like, whether it's Lane Thomas in the box or it's my nephew Cam, doesn't really matter. He just wants to watch baseball.
It's a bigger person playing baseball.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we might go do that. But then Sunday, I'll do something fun. And then Monday, I still won't have to go back to work. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Can I ask, when did you find out? Now, I'm not joning because
yesterday.
You and I together are the collective worst at this.
But I know, so I know we don't work on Memorial Day Monday. Like that's a given. But I just didn't know this weekend was that weekend. Normally it's like the last weekend of May, and I guess this is the last weekend of May.
Yeah, it is that.
But normally it's like the 30 something, 30, 31, 29. Maybe there's a 28 in there sometimes.
Yeah, I get weird.
But it feels like it's early this time. So I just wasn't ready for it. And I think this is the first time in my life. I don't believe I have a single barbecue plan this weekend. Like, nothing. My mom texted me. She does this move where she texts me and says, call if you have a minute. I don't like that move because now you've made me call you. The whole point of the text is that we text.
We preclude the call.
She used to only call. I got her texting, which was the greatest development ever. She would call me and leave voicemails or say, hey, call me back. Love talking to my mom. She's the best. I don't want to talk on the phone. I want to text.
Mm-hmm.
But now she texts me and says, call when you have a minute. It ricks me.
Yeah.
Long story short, I call her. She goes, hey, what are you guys doing? Do you want to come for a cookout? I said, I don't really know. I'll figure that out. It was the first time anyone's mentioned anything about meats on a grill on Memorial Day weekend. Mm-hmm. And here it is Friday at 3:50. I don't remember that happening to me.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
That's right, Coach.
Thank you, Coach. Do you have any cookouts or anything you're going to?
We're doing a little something. We're going to go see my in-laws in the Balmer area probably. It's been a minute. So we'll slide up there. They're vegetarians, so I'm gonna have to bring my own separate grill or something.
So how does that work? Because you go up there all the time. If they're vegetarians, will they touch meat and throw it on the grill?
No, they don't want that. So like they can't have that on their grill.
Are you being serious?
I mean, totally serious.
So what do you do?
It's a different thing every time. We've sort of it's a workaround.
Do you ever just do whatever like impossible meat they're doing or?
I have in a pinch tried the Impossible Burger. And I got to tell you, it ain't bad.
Okay,
now, I'm not doing it again.
So what day are you going? Saturday or Sunday?
We're going up Saturday. Then we're going to have a big old thing on Sunday, probably.
Oh, you're doing it overnight?
Yeah.
Look at you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Saturday, they're grilling out with their non-meat meat.
Yep.
What is Danny Rhea going to eat? You're just casually like, oh, yeah, we'll see. It's tomorrow. It's like, what is your current plan?
I don't have one. But here's the thing. I don't have to. No one trusts me to do anything.
Right, but okay, so your wife's going to come up with something. But
yeah, the adults.
Assumption? What will you eat?
The adults have thought of this. And something.
So
my wife's not a vegan.
Barbecue, probably.
Who knows? No, I mean, like, there'll be a separate cooking service for a hot dog. You know what I mean? Like, the adults,
but where's the grill?
Have thought of it.
That can't touch their grill, you said.
Yeah, it's probably a different grill. Probably some sort of, I don't know if someone's going to break out a Foreman for the first time in 17 years. Like, it's a dorm room. I have no idea. I guarantee you the adults have thought of it. In fact, I will say this. It's very interesting. Like, sort of the brand, you know how family branding works, like, internally? Everybody's like, for whatever reason, I'll tell you what I'm trying to say. The women in the family are like super concerned that I might be hungry. It's a great thing. I mean, it works out incredibly well for me. But like my mother-in-law, my wife, and even my sister-in-law to a degree are like, now part of it is because they're afraid like I'll be in a bad mood because I'm hangry and I'm not really an adult.
Let's make sure
control
Danny
myself.
Gets mood so he's not insufferable.
Seriously. It's
food. I said mood, but I meant food.
But yeah, you know, I know what you meant. But so the byproduct is everyone's like super concerned about me getting enough to eat.
That's
and like
how you know
good
you're
food.
Not fun when everyone's trying to get you to have a drink. Too. Seriously. They're like, hey, man, just lighten up a little bit.
Here's some alcohol. I'm like, But that, so I've now, I'm complacent. I'll fully admit that. I have not thought once about if I'm going to be able to have delicious meat or not. I know I will. I know the adults in our group have thought of it.
Vegan or vegetarian?
So they are.
So like,
I know what you mean.
Is mac and cheese terrible too? Or? Like sides tomorrow.
Yeah, they are like level 3 vegetarian. In other words, vegetarian, they don't eat meat. They've upped their game. I said umped. They've upped their game over the last couple of years. Where now it's like, it's not eggs anymore. It's not milk anymore. It's like they are almost totally vegan. Almost.
Oh, man.
And here's the thing. They're just so healthy. Just these really healthy,
I'm sure they
unfat
are.
People.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a great lifestyle for them. Danny's going to be
but
there.
But not for old Randy, do you?
Danny's going to be there. What's Danny going to do? That's kind of what I'm wondering.
Mm-hmm.
We're blitzing next on G&D, and at 425, the return of the very popular segment. And ask us anything, any questions you got, any topic that we don't talk enough about, you want to hear our thoughts on, Grant and Danny's Tony's Mailbag at 425 today. Those Burt Kreischer tickets next, as soon as we return on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.